A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. Are you still there?
Frankie Campus, lounging in Trader Pete's general store in Clayville, watched the young newlyweds, Tom and Mary Mason, walk into the street.
Yeah, that hombre sure bought a lot of stuff, huh, Pete? Spades, shovels, blasting powder, and... Hey, what did he want the blasting powder for? Mining?
Nope, he's using it to blow rocks and stumps out of the ground. He's one of those farmers that settled out in the Serena Valley beyond Fort Harrell. He just went back east to fetch his bride out here.
Yeah, he bought those guns I've been admiring too, didn't he?
Yep, he had money and paid for them. You didn't.
I sure would have given anything to get those rifles.
You didn't have anything to give. All you and that Choctaw Joe do is hang around and talk. Why don't you do something instead of talking?
Maybe we will one of these days. Maybe we will.
The next morning at Fort Harrell, west of Clayville, the commandant of the outpost, Major Conway, handed special orders to young Lieutenant Monroe, recently assigned to the post.
Lieutenant, these are your orders to pick up the gold shipment at Wells Fargo in Clayville. Because of conditions in the territory, I'm able to provide you with a detail of only 5 men on this mission.
5 men will be plenty, Major.
Oh, they're all rookies, Lieutenant, and I have my doubts. But they're all I have. The gold you pick up will be important in the negotiations we're carrying on with the Indians. Get it through. Good luck, Lieutenant. That's all.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Monroe and his detail arrived at the Wells Fargo office in Clayville at sundown 2 days later. A couple of loungers in front of a cafe across the street watched Monroe enter the office. Choctaw Joe spoke first.
Frankie, look at horses soldiers ride. Look like them come long way, huh?
Yeah, looks that way. Probably from Fort Harrell. That's only a couple of days west of here.
I mean, no. Not far from Jess Boys and Medicine Range. Remember last time soldiers come from there, why them come?
Oh, yeah, to get money. But that was a year ago, just about this time. I remember it because the weather was just starting to get real cold.
Maybe them come again, get gold.
With only 5 men? Don't be crazy.
Them not ride in for nothing.
Why don't you find out why they came then? That's why Jess has you here in Clayville, isn't it? To find out what happens to Wells Fargo.
Huh?
Then do what you're supposed to do. Hey, look. They just put on the light. Old man Carter's carrying the lamp, and they're going back into his private office.
Me not blind, me see him.
Well, your listening post right beneath Carter's window. It's dark enough so that nobody see you. Go to the rear of the building and hear what they're talking about.
That what me do. You wait here?
Yeah, I'll wait here.
And me go, listen. Frankie.
Here I am, over here, Joe. What kept you? You've been going half an hour.
Me listen to Cardiff and kid officer.
What'd you hear?
Plenty, Frankie. Come on, let's get our horses. We'll ride back to Medicine Range. This thing Jess and boys wait for.
Choctaw Joe and Frankie headed west. On the morning of the second day out of Clayville, they drew rein in the hills and looked down on the main trail.
Oh, there, hold. Steady work. Hey, Joe, that covered wagon down there, recognize it?
No, why?
That's the one that I saw leave Clayville 4 days back. The one with a couple who just got married.
You mean them two you tell me about? Who buy guns at Trader Pete's?
Yeah, those are the two, Joe. Looks like they're making the trip alone, all right. I kind of thought they were. That hombre must be crazy doing that.
Him not crazy. Nothing happened to him.
Not yet, you mean. Joe, I like the guns that hombre bought. You saw them. You liked them, too. We could use them.
You think we could get them?
Why not? A lovesick hombre like that wouldn't want anything to happen to his bride. We'll get him easy.
Then we do it pronto. Must get to Cape
soon. We have time. Look, Joe, we ride ahead a while, then cut down to the road. We'll turn around then and ride back east till we meet up with that wagon. Come on, get up there. Come on, boy.
Tom and Mary Mason, on the driver's seat of their covered wagon, saw the two riders approaching from the opposite direction.
Tom, those men are slowing their horses. I think they're about to stop us.
They're about to stop, but that doesn't mean you must be afraid.
What?
Don't forget you're in the far west, Mary. People don't pass each other on the road without an exchange of greetings.
You think that's why they're stopping? To greet us?
Why not?
I don't like the looks of that dark one.
Now, Mary, stop it. Hi there.
Howdy, strangers.
Who?
I saw your wagon coming from way back there. Riding all alone?
Yes, left Clayville 4 days ago. Are you heading there?
Yep. We've been at Fort Harrell the past week.
Tom, that man's lying. We saw him before.
What?
What's that you say, lady?
I saw you in Clayville when we were there. You were in the store.
Get hands high.
Tom, where are you? Guns.
Don't reach for that gun of yours, mister.
You do. We shoot lady.
Oh. What?
You heard him. He's telling the truth. We don't want to hurt you, but we will if you make trouble.
My wife wasn't with me. I'd show you.
Sure, you'd go for your gun and fight it out. I know that. The thing is, she's with you.
We haven't any money. We spent it all in Clayville.
We not want money.
Well, what's the idea of the guns, then? What do you want?
Mister, the lady was right. She did see me in Clayville. I was there when you bought 2 rifles. That's what we want.
Well, the rifles?
Yeah. Hand them over and nothing will happen to you. Don't hand them
over. We'll give them to you. They're right here behind me.
You not turn. Not reach for them. Me get them.
Choctaw Joe rode his horse close to the wagon, reached beneath the canvas covering, and removed the 2 beautiful new rifles. He handed one to Frankie.
Them good-looking guns.
Oh, they'll shoot better. All right, mister. Drive the wagon off the road. Move it over there behind those trees. Go on, do as I say.
Come on, get up.
Come on, get up, boy. Get up.
With lips tight, restraining his anger in order to protect his wife, Tom Mason obeyed. When they reached the spot that screened the wagon from the road.
Now get out of there. Steady, boy.
We're going to tie you up and gag you. We got to do that for our protection.
Now, wait a minute. That's murder. We'll die out there if you do that.
You said you wouldn't hurt us.
Tying and gagging isn't hurting you. Is it, Joe?
No. Me have rope here, lady. Turn around.
Keep your hands off her, you filthy
man. No. You killed him. You hit him with that rifle.
Keep still. Him come too.
If you want any chance to live, lady, you'll do as we say. Now use your head.
Choctaw Joe bound the girl's arms behind her and then fastened a rope around her ankles. He did the same to the unconscious Tom Mason as the girl looked on helplessly.
Now me take care of you, lady.
When Joe had gagged Mary, he and Frankie lifted her into the rear of the wagon.
You see how good we are to you? It's too bad, lady, but good guns are hard to get, and we had to get them.
Come, Frankie. We got to get to cave by night. Get boys ready for soldiers.
I'm coming. Lady, too bad nobody'll see you here. Oh, but don't worry. Maybe we'll come back for you tomorrow night and free you, huh? After we finish a job we're going to do. Steady, boy. You ready, Joe?
You want to keep rifle, Frankie. You not let Jess see it. Maybe him take it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We'll hide him somewhere, Joe, before we go to the cave. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you thought about Jess. Come on, let's go.
Get up there.
It was sundown when Frankie and Joe neared the bandits' cave high in Medicine Range. They left their rifles in the grass a few hundred yards from the cave entrance.
Remember where we left them, Joe. We'll pick them up tomorrow. And when we talk to Jess, let's not say anything about holding up the wagon. He mightn't like it. Come on. Get up.
Outlaw Chief Jess Turner took Frankie Campos and Choctaw Joe away from the rest of the gang as Joe reported the conversation he'd overheard in Clayville. A small cook fire burned at the rear of the cave, beneath a small opening at the top that permitted the smoke to escape into the night. The three men were silhouetted before this as Joe finished.
And me hear him say they're more than $12,000 in shipment. 5 soldiers take back the fort.
Only 5 of them, hmm? And I have 18 men here. When are they leaving Clayville with the money?
Them ready to leave yesterday morning. That why we get out right away, get head start on them.
They'll be traveling fast, yes. That much money, even in gold, isn't too heavy. If they split it up between them, they could carry that much in the haversacks.
I need money. I don't like messing with the army, but boys, I'm going to do
it. Yeah, we knew you would, Jess. Where do we take him?
At Snake Bend, about 3 miles down from here. They travel fast like you think, and if they left Clayville yesterday morning, they'll be passing Snake Bend sometime between dawn and high noon. We'll take them there.
The first faint signs of dawn rimmed the eastern horizon when next morning, Jess Turner and his bandit gang left their hideout.
Now remember, boys, it's the army we're up against. When we ride down on them, we ride down shooting. We work fast, get the money, and come back here.
We're not going to stay holed up here, are we, Jess?
Only till it gets dark. Then we'll work our way out through the rear of the cave, ride north the other side of the range, and split up there. I got that, all of you?
Yeah.
All right, then let's get snotted for Snake Bend and that good old army gold.
Steady, boy.
Get up! Come on!
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. to continue. The Lone Ranger and Tonto were heading south and spent the night in the Medicine Range Mountains. They were about to leave their camp shortly after sunup when the sound of hoofs in the distance caught their attention.
Look, Kemosabe, on road below, soldiers. Six of them.
Heading for the fort, evidently.
Them ride plenty fast.
I don't blame them. The mornings are chilly this time of year. A gallop warms the horses quickly and sets them for the day.
It'd be good if we gallop down to road, Kemosabe. Scouts shiver from cold.
Oh, I see. All right, we'll start then. Come on, Silver!
Come up, scout!
The Lone Ranger and Tonto, galloping their horses down the hillside, were nearing a long line of trees that edged the road when they reined their horses sharply.
Hold it, Tonto, listen. You hear someone calling?
Kemosabe. It come from that way.
Let's go. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, scout.
Tonto, there's a covered wagon straight ahead among that grove of trees.
Me see it.
The masked man and Indian leaped from their horses and ran around the wagon to where they saw a man lying on the ground. Tom Mason, still bound, had managed somehow during the night to loosen the gag around his mouth. He had ceased his cries for help when he heard the Lone Ranger and Tonto approach. His eyes widened in fear as he saw the masked man.
Outlaws, more of them.
We're not outlaws, mister. Don't let this mask give a wrong impression. Here, let me cut those ropes.
Well, never mind me. My wife is in the wagon. They bound and gagged her, too.
Hello.
Me savvy, Kemosabe. Me go to wagon. Free woman.
Tonto released Mary Mason and the Lone Ranger freed Tom. The young farmer told what happened until he was knocked unconscious by the bandits. Mary Mason, cold and sore, but otherwise unhurt, finished the story when she became convinced that the masked man was not another outlaw. When she completed her story, the Lone Ranger spoke.
They didn't attempt to steal anything other than the rifles.
I told them we had no money. They said they didn't want money.
All we have in the wagon is equipment for the land we intend to farm. Shovels and picks and blasting powder, things like that.
Mrs. Mason, you're sure the name they mentioned was Jess Turner?
Yes. Do you know who he is?
He's the most notorious outlaw in this territory. What else was it they said? They'd have to get to the cave by nightfall and get the boys ready for the soldiers?
As near as I recall, that's what he said.
Have you any idea what they meant?
No, but I don't like it. Get into your wagon, Mr. and Mrs. Mason. Do you feel well enough to drive?
Oh, I feel all right now, thanks to you.
There's nothing wrong with me.
Then we'll continue west. Tonto will ride with you. I'll ride on ahead to Fort Harrell and tell them what you told me. Perhaps they'll send a detail back in the Medicine Range to search for them.
Kemosabe.
Yes.
We study hoof prints of Crook's horses. One horse got shoe most worn out. Other horse got marked like half moon on shoe.
You mean you'd be able to trace the horses by the hoof prints?
Yes, Mrs. Mason. But right now, we'll not do that. Tonto, you escort Mr. and Mrs. Mason in their wagon. I'll ride ahead.
The soldiers, unsuspecting and unprepared for Jess Turner's ambush, sped around the turn at Snake Bend. They never had a chance. The outlaws, guns blazing, rode down on them like a thundering herd. They disregarded the soldiers, all badly wounded and sprawled near their fallen horses. The bandits checked the haversacks, found large sums of money in each, and then slung them over their own shoulders. Jess Turner, satisfied, gave orders through the bandana that covered his mouth.
That's it, boys. Now turn around, do as I told you. Go to the hideout.
Ready, boys? Get up!
The Lone Ranger came upon the scene of the bloody holdup about an hour later. He leaped from his horse and rushed from man to man and saw that none were dead, though three were badly wounded. The young officer looked up into his eyes.
You came back to kill us?
No, I'm not a killer or an outlaw. I'll try to help you. I have a medical kit. I'll get it at once.
Attend to my men first. Those who live.
They all seem to be alive, Lieutenant. I'll try to keep them that way.
When the covered wagon led by Tonto reached Snake Bend 2 hours later, they found the Lone Ranger talking to a young officer who sat propped against a tree at the side of the road. Near him were five soldiers, all bandaged and lying beneath their uniform coats, which the Lone Ranger had draped over them. As Tom and Mary Mason joined Tonto, the Lone Ranger repeated the story of the ambush, as related to him by Lieutenant Monroe.
And it must have been of this ambush that those men were talking, Mrs. Mason, when they said they'd get the boys ready for the soldiers.
How terrible. How very terrible. Is there something I may do?
Yes. Tom, would you drive these wounded men to Fort Harrell as quickly as possible?
Gladly, but I've never been there. I don't know where it is.
Stay on this road. It's directly ahead, about 10 miles from here. You can't miss it.
Then we'll leave at once. Did you see inside our wagon, though? We've all kinds of things there.
We'll remove them, place them at the side of the road, and cover them with canvas. They'll be safe there until you return.
The wagon was unloaded, and the wounded soldiers, including Lieutenant Monroe, were placed inside on the wagon floor. Tom Mason insisted that he be allowed to stay with the Lone Ranger and Tonto, who prepared to follow the trail left by the bandits.
Yes, Tom, you stay. They may need your help. I'm able to handle these horses.
And I'm well enough to give her protection if it's needed.
Fine, Lieutenant. If it's possible, ask the commandant at the fort to send soldiers. We'll go in the direction the bandits took to the north. We'll leave trail marks behind for the soldiers to follow. And good luck to you.
Good luck to you, too.
Be careful, honey.
I will, Tom. Get up there. Get up.
You must have it.
Yes.
Me study hoofprints here, and we guess right. We find same hoofprints here. We find back where wagon was.
I thought you would. We'll follow them. Tonto, you know the hills above us. Do you know any caves large enough to hold a number of men and horses?
Only one cave may know like that, Kemosabe.
Oh.
It in same direction crooks go. Maybe trail lead there.
Well, we'll see. Mason, are you sure that Lieutenant Monroe's horse isn't wounded?
Positive. Not a scratch on him.
You were both lucky. Tonto, you do the trailing. We'll be right behind you.
Easy, 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 easy. Get him up.
Come on, get him.
Come on, Silver.
Oh, you must be. We still see trail made by outlaw horses. You think I'm go to cave, me tell you about.
Is it far from here?
No. Now we go around trees uphill.
Oh, wait. And we... What's that shining over there in the grass? Come on, boy.
Come, Scott.
Get him, fella.
Easy, fella. Otto, rifles. Two of them.
Well, I'll be. These are the guns that were stolen from me.
We'll take these rifles. But first, Tonto, how is that cave laid out, do you know?
Kemosabe. Front entrance, straight ahead.
Yes.
Big enough maybe for two horses to pass through. Inside, it not too high, but plenty wide. It may be 100 feet long. Get narrow in back part.
Is that entrance you described the only one?
No. Other one at back part. It's small. Maybe one horse get through there.
Mason, after hearing Tonto's description of the cave, I have a plan in mind that'll keep those crooks from getting out.
What is your plan?
They'll probably hide there until nightfall before leaving. Mason, do you know how to use the blasting powder we left on the road with your other things?
Oh, certainly.
Then ride down and get 2 cans of it. Get a couple of shovels, too. And come back here as fast as possible.
Sure. I'll go at once.
Tonto, I'll go a little farther up the hill where I can cover the front entrance of the cave.
Kemosabe. And me go to other end of cave. Shoot anybody who try come out.
That's right, Tonto. If they try, they'll be perfect targets for both of us.
It was nearing sundown when Tom Mason returned with 2 cans of blasting powder and fuses, together with 2 shovels. He found the Lone Ranger kneeling behind a rock, watching the front of the cave.
No one has tried to leave, but I've seen some movements inside, so I know they're in there. We'll be able to crawl through that underbrush to my right and reach a spot only a few yards to the side of the cave entrance. You take 1 can of powder, I'll take the other. Now we light the fuses.
Inside the cave, outlaw Jess Turner closed the last of the haversacks containing the army gold.
Boys, douse that fire and let's get ready to leave here. Joe, go back to that rear exit. Take a look around out there just to be sure.
It's still light out there, Jeff.
I know, but it can't last much longer. Now, Frankie,
yeah?
We give the boys their split tomorrow morning. We'll ride all night to the border. And...
Hey, look at
the Joe, what happened?
Yes, be shot.
Look at him, Jess. Bleeding hard.
Boys, if that end of the cave is covered by hombres with guns, we better make a run for it from the front entrance. Get on your horses and let's get going.
Jess, the front of the cave is blown shut.
It's good. The horse, it's good. Yeah, covered to the top with dirt and rocks.
Hey, we're trapped. Trapped. They got us here like rats.
I'll try to get out of the back. Maybe nobody's there.
They shot Yancey, too. Jess, we're cooked. Cooked, I tell you.
Jess Turner, you haven't a chance.
Jess, that voice from sky.
Why, it's coming from the top of the cave, Jess. From the smoke hole.
You haven't a chance except to die. If you try to leave through that rear exit, you'll be shot down. We have you covered from every angle. Now, we'll leave you inside the cave all night. In the morning, you'll walk to the exit and throw your guns out into the open. Then come out with your hands held high. One at a time. We'll be waiting.
Frankie Campos was the first crook to leave the cave the next morning. Major Conway and troops from Fort Harrell had followed the Lone Ranger's trail and arrived a few minutes earlier. Major Conway spoke.
All right, you. Tell Jess Turner and the men inside to come out as they were instructed.
Yes, sir. They're going to. Oh, here's Turner now.
Ben, there's soldiers out here. Bring the money along with you.
That's what you came after, isn't it, Major?
We came to arrest you, too. You're lucky, Turner, you're not to be hanged for murder. Thanks to a masked man, my soldier survived your shooting.
A masked man?
Yes. The same man who saved the life of my wife and me.
Me, thank you.
You thought you left us to die, didn't you? Well, I see by your wounds you ended up worse than we did. And it was the masked man who saved us, too.
Kept your gang holed up till we came, Turner.
What? One man kept us inside that cave last night?
Oh, we helped some. There was a one-man job all the way. A man called the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.